I was interviewing Stephen Greer, and lo and behold, during the taping, they were taping as if live, James Oberg calls in, good old James Oberg at NASA, and Oberg calls in and was really upset, Dan said. I mean, I just interviewed Aykroyd for an hour and 20 minutes for my next film, Evidence 2.
Yeah, and everybody will recall I had Dan Aykroyd on the show with you as well.
That was December 5th, 2001. Then what happens is Aykroyd tells me in the interview the other day, I was interviewing him on the set, and he said within 24 hours, he was standing outside during one of the breaks. And Oberg, he said, was very disturbed by Stephen Greer, the fact that he had so many credible, you know, Air Force pilots and astronauts like Cooper testifying to having seen UFOs. Aykroyd said he was on his cell phone. This is kind of funny. He was talking to Britney Spears, and he turned and looked, and he saw a black sedan, long sedan, with men standing outside, black sunglasses, black suits, and with these earpieces in, and he said they beckoned him with a look of total intimidation. And Dan, Brittany said something to him. He said he turns his head.
You mean like, want to take a ride?
Want to take a ride. And then he turns and looks back, and the car is gone, and he said there's no way it could have hopped over the other cars. The men were standing outside the car. There's no way in a turn of a neck that they could have disappeared. And he is convinced that these guys were some sort of interdimensional, who knows, limousine. And then what happens?
Maybe it was just an effect of talking to Brittany.
Well, no, watch what happens next. Within 24 hours, his show is canceled. Now, remember, we had Oberg on with us, and the show, the satellite turned off, and the Internet turned off.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes.
Then Aykroyd has Oberg on his show with Stephen Greer.
Poof.
His whole show is canceled. Sci-Fi tells him the show was canceled. In fact, they tied him up in lawsuits so he couldn't even sell it to another network.
Hmm.
Now, isn't that interesting? Now, that's you know, I was supposed to fly to New York 2 days later to do my show with Dan, and he said,
I remember the cancellation. I remember the shock of the cancellation.
Yeah. Dan and Peter Aykroyd are both disturbed to this day. I told Dan that it was an apparition for his eyes only to let him know that someone at a higher level had shut down his show, because this wasn't mere entertainment. This was Stephen Greer with Project Disclosure, and this was, you know, me with the NASA stuff. So, you know, now let's go to Mexico. All of a sudden, Mexico happens. We have, let's look at the science on this, and it's pretty easy.
Well, describe for everybody what happened in Mexico.
Okay, in Mexico, what happens, I got a call from a friend of mine named David Sadler, who ran for Congress in Illinois, and he tipped me off to Jaime Musson doing this huge press conference in the early part of the month of May, and I notified Bob Tarlow, who's senior producer at Fox News. Tarlow gets the tape and puts it on Fox National within 6 hours. I mean, it was on National Fox. That footage was everywhere. And then all of a sudden, all the other stations followed pursuit, and I went on with George Noory that night to talk about it. Now, what is peculiar about the Mexico case and why it's so relevant to my work at with the NASA UFOs is, once again, we have 11 UFOs confirmed on forward-looking infrared cameras that were, and three were detected on radar, the remaining eight were not, and they surrounded their aircraft, intimidating the pilots. And so let's look at, I have a very deep investigation into the Mexico case.
This really seems like almost a smoking gun kind of case.
It's absolutely smoking gun because you have no visual confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the same as the NASA tapes. We have translucent disks of light that are very large, perhaps 2 to 3 miles in diameter, only visible on the ultraviolet cameras.
But again, with respect to the Mexican case, where has this gone? Because many of these things just get dropped like they went off a cliff and you don't hear anything else.
I was interviewing, again for Evidence 2, a man named Ken Stork up in Denver, who was U.S. Air Force retired. And he said, Stork used to work in drug enforcement. He said Space Command had picked up these UFOs all the way down in, I believe it was Venezuela, and we notified the Mexican Air Force. Let me just clarify for people what Space Command is. Space Command has also satellite cameras that observe the Earth 24 hours a day in the visible wavelengths from the color red to violet. They also look in ultraviolet. near and far, and they look in infrared.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know whether they were visible or not, but we got a signal. We notified their Air Force. So that means they flew all the way from South America through Central America into Mexico. They launch their drug enforcement jets that have U.S. forward-looking infrared cameras, which really I have to clarify here, because forward-looking infrared are not ordinary infrared cameras. They incorporate two wavelengths of infrared, low frequency and high frequency infrared. They fuse them together so you get a two-dimensional infrared image with tremendous resolution.
David, I've been sitting in a Black Hawk, and I've played with that radar.
Oh, you have?
Oh, yes, I have. And it's remarkable. I mean, it's actually, for those of you who can't imagine it, it's really the next thing to a photograph. Mm-hmm. It's kind of looking like, it's almost like looking at a negative photograph. And you can make out shapes of human beings, shapes of aircraft that are on the runway, if a car is driving past on a highway near the runway, you can see that everything in proper proportion, and you have quite a clear view.
Incredibly clear, beyond any normal infrared camera.
And absolutely,
I researched through DOD, and we have new infrared cameras, that forward-looking infrared cameras, that are so far beyond the ones we sold Mexico. It would, I mean, really just make people's eyes pop wide open.
I'm sure.
So here's the deal now. Remember, we have, okay, a temperature, they're flying at, 13,000 feet. It's minus, according to Jaime Musan's report, it's minus 26 degrees up there, which is easy to understand at that altitude.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get this infrared signature, very clear. In fact, the one that they target in on the it's called advanced target forward-looking infrared. You'll see the little X's. They actually target the objects. And that's for you know, our military response.
Sure.
You can look at one of them with what they actually, they square in on. You'll see a long cylinder-like thing with a round, you know, bulb or light shining from it. So you can see this thing has structure. But everyone is duped in this case because you have mass gone invisible. Now, I go back to my UFO sighting in Berkeley, 67, 68, and after 20 minutes of watching this shiny metallic disc, we saw it blink out. It just disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, where did it go? And let's go even further back. Let's go back to, in fact, this gentleman came to my attention after Evidence One, the case for NASA UFOs, came out, and he saw it. Trevor James Constable is the author of The Cosmic Pulse of Life. Have you ever heard of him?
No.
Okay. 1976, he publishes his book. Trevor Constable is a retired British naval officer from